obviously availing herself of the new technology, which is Facebook, Katie Grimason has said, "I am listening." Although Katie would have it with a natural Wolverhampton Birmingham-esque accent, really, which is the way forward, really. Well done, Katie. And, well, we're missing you. But there we are. Life continues. Because I actually moved another step forward to actually another great momentous time for the midweek drive and formally decided that the show would become the 622nd person, stroke collective, to like one of Britain's hottest newest stars in terms of acting and various other bits and pieces, a true legend, somebody who has become such a wonderful sort of an individual, you could scarcely believe it. To whom could I be referring, Hannah?
That would be Lisa McAllister.
The one and only Lisa McAllister! How are you, Lisa?
I'm very good. Who wouldn't be with an introduction like that? Thank you.
Yes, it's only right, and I see you getting the hang of this Facebook malarkey, which is splendid.
Yeah, I'm getting a bit better on it. Still not great, I'll be honest.
Well,
it's a bit beyond me.
You can, of course, simply, where it has one of those search things, search bars at the top, simply type in Southside Broadcasting, and then you can join this show as well. You might even like to like us.
I certainly will. Well, I will.
There you go. Exactly. Although, as I say, it always sounds a little bit, will you like me? I would like you. Would you like me?
No.
Please, let's get something sorted out. Sarah Bullimore, you have become a social networker par excellence, as you've had to be in terms of producing all sorts of... Exactly. So have you got any questions for Lisa or advice on using Facebook effectively or developing all sorts of other bits and pieces? Because, I mean, my mission is now, and I say this categorically, for Lisa McAllister to actually get more followers than Lady Gaga by the end of the year. There you go. That's a challenge. Yeah, exactly. Over to you, Sarah.
I think Facebook is going out a bit, really. It's really hard to get...
Oh, don't say that. Likes. Don't say Facebook is going out. She's just got on it.
It's still going to be very important because we're setting one up for every single one of our projects, but I'm exploring the world of Pinterest at the moment.
Do you know, that Pinterest, of course, is the next stage. For. Are you a Pinterest person, Philippa?
I've not heard of it, to be honest.
Hannah?
I have heard of it, yeah. But I'm more of a Facebook and Twitter kind of user.
We do tweet, of course, follow those things through. Mm-hmm. Anyway, okay, Sarah, so having sort of suddenly sort of set shockwaves. Lisa, bless her heart, her agency has just been suffered floods. They were having floods, and that was not this week, that was last week. They were having all sorts.
Brand new office. It's very sad.
I know. Yeah. I mean,
they're brand new, gorgeous offices. It's a real shame.
We were sending positive vibes down to Samantha and Zanya and saying it's all right, it'll dry. And at the height of the sort of spring, summer-like weather we were having, and they get floods.
They're all endlessly positive and soldiering on.
And that's why, you know, they bond together and work through. Anyway, over to you, Sarah.
Hello, Lisa.
Hi.
Have you done kind of stage and TV work and film, and do you have a preference to which medium you prefer, if you have?
I've done all of them, but I haven't done stage for quite some time, since it was sort of more youth theatre. I just sort of fell into doing film and television quite quickly, and I love the whole process of making a film, whether it's sort of, I had a very small part in Ron Howard's new film Rush recently, which was just one day filming in and out, and amazing to be part of a project like that. But I mean, it's also incredible when you start the film from the very beginning, see it through to the last day. It's a real journey. Lots of people come together to create this sort of world, and you become really bonded, and either, you know, as families do, there's some arguments no doubt along the way, but generally it's just a really, really, really good atmosphere. But I would love to do more theatre.
Excellent.
In fact, it's a March the 16th update that we actually have here. Lisa McAllister says, yes, I'm just about to go on to Ron Howard's movie Rush. Of course, it could well be that Lisa actually needs to have a virtual assistant, which is there, you know, somebody who actually do the updates for her, really.
Gosh, I would love that.
Yeah,
carry on, sorry.
Hannah, of course, you've taken the research a stage further because you said, I'm going to check out some of the trailers featuring Lisa McAllister.
Yeah,
over to
I
you,
did.
Hannah.
I was watching some of the trailers for some of the films you were in, Lisa.
Okay.
I noticed that you were in Dead Set. Can you tell us a bit more about that film? Was that, like, quite fun to film? Because it's obviously it's a vampire film, so there must be quite a few special effects and things that you might not have had when you were actually filming. I don't know. Could you tell us a bit more about it?
Yeah, sure. Dead Set was a lot of fun to film. It was gangsters versus vampires, and there was quite a lot of gore. I have to say, everything that you see, there's hardly any CGI in it. So the supporting artist cast, the extras, they were incredible. They spent hours and hours covered in very sticky stage clod with bits of sort of sponge and rubber and all sorts made to look like human flesh all over them. And they were all incredibly patient, and that's kind of why the film's got that depth. Nothing to do with CGI, in fact.
Oh, wow, okay.
So it's almost kind of going back to the days of Grand Guignol and the French Parisian theatre, where they say, we don't have blue screen, green screen or any other screen, we just slap on the makeup and hope for the best. It's extraordinary sort of things. Philippa.
Yes, I was looking on your IMDb page earlier, and it says you're in Batman The Dark Knight. Have you got any interesting stories from the set at all?
Well, I've got one very brief line in that film, so it's an incredibly small part. I'm in the bit at the close to the end where the two fairies are being pitched against each other by the Joker.
Mm-hmm.
So do you know the bit I mean? Where
yeah.
He's trying to
Lisa, you might on. You might say it's only one line. I have it on good authority for, as far as Christopher Nolan's concerned, that line made the movie.
Yeah, oh, yeah. Chris. Shucks. unfortunately there was no Batman and there was no Joker actually on set, so it was just a lot of people and a very big studio set. It was lots of fun to be in that kind of
and on the flip side, of course, Christian Bale's been known to be a bit of a potty mouth when he's stressed, so you don't really necessarily want to go
and
do that.
I might have gotten his eyeliner.
Exactly. and sadly Heath Ledger is no longer with us, so you know, either of those routines, so we just work our way through that process, and quite rightly so too. We're going to talk a little bit more about your Easter thoughts. You know, Lisa for Easter, Easter for Lisa. I just know there's a strapline we can actually work on there. But I do feel that you've made a welcome return to the Midweek Drive, Lisa. Do you have a particular musical choice or musical artiste you'd like us to see if Mr. Computer has actually got in the system just for yourself?
I have. Last time I had a bit of fleet with Mac. I kind of have been thinking about Adele. I haven't
really
heard her. Yeah, I just love her. Anything from her you could play and I'd be happy.
And we wouldn't actually cut her off midstream like obviously the Brit Awards, you know, because ITV2 have to sort of say, enough Adele, we've got to sort of move on now. It might be,
I know.
So let's run through Cold Shoulder, Chasing Pavements, Rolling in the Deep, Someone Like You, Set Fire to the Rain, Rumour Has It, Cindy Adele, any
Let's
of those?
Let's go for Rolling in the Deep.
Well, there
good
you
choice.
Go. Yeah, I think it's getting thumbs up. And once again, Lisa McAllister proving that she's got the finger on the pulse of the cultural ethos of Lincoln and beyond.
There's a fire starting in my heart, reaching a fever pitch and it's bringing me out the dark. Finally, I can see you crystal clear.
Theme that was being played wherever you went.
Just everywhere, in the shopping mall, in the hotel, everywhere.
Constantly, obviously, that's the message. Lisa was that kind of impact in terms of just playing Adele non-stop, that kind of it's ground itself into the cultural consciousness.
Yeah, I just think she's absolutely incredible, though. I'm glad.
There we are. It's positive stuff. That don't quite understand the latest communique from Katie Grimason in Birmingham. She's just put cold shoulder. I mean, is she eating a leg of lamb? Is she eating some shoulder? Is it just a frozen shoulder? So, we try, Lisa, to keep the listeners and the listener entertained in these kind of things. But sometimes, you just sort of shrug your shoulders, quite literally. Hannah, you've got a little request to ask Lisa, because bearing in mind that she was indeed the number one girl in Sherlock, she was absolutely very much for that sort of basis. You said that your grandparents. That's nice. You're appealing to the grandparents here, Lisa. Exactly. They would like a little, to use the vernacular, shout out from Lisa. So,
My mum and grandparents are listening today. Could you give them a shout out, please?
Would you like to give them that? Give Lisa Hunt their names.
Siobhan and Valerie and John.
Siobhan, Valerie and John. Over to you, Lisa McAllister.
Siobhan, Valerie and John, hello. And thank you for watching Sherlock.
Yeah, you see.
Hope you have a very, very happy Easter.
Oh, it's just you know, if Stephen Moffat had actually written that, he couldn't have actually put, even if Sue Virtue, his wife and producer, had actually got on the case. Dare I say it, even if Mark Gatiss had actually been script writing, he couldn't have actually scripted a better link. Fantastic. Genius stuff. So, Easter, Lisa. Sorry, I'm for that sort of thing. No, I won't even go there. Is it something which you think, yeah, this is for me? I mean, we were talking with Sarah Chase in Germany a few moments ago, and she was fretting over the Easter Bunny and how she's going to entertain her nephews who are coming over to Germany from America and all of that malarkey. We weren't sure whether it was a terrorist in disguise or anything from that perspective. So, you know, are you an Easter Bunny fan, or is it just a case of, no, sorry, just no? You know, or what's your views about Easter in general?
No, I think any excuse to get festive, and I'm there. I love hot cross buns and Easter eggs and the Easter Bunny. And well, I've got a goddaughter who's about sort of, she's about 4.5, so she's very into the Easter Bunny and egg hunts and all sorts of things. And I think, you know, even though they're not particularly religious, well, they are. I think they all come from paganism originally. They're all good, fun things. I think Easter's a lovely, lovely festive season.
For a moment, though, we're going to paganism. I thought, is she saying it's like the Wicker Man? You know, are we going into sort of some burning alive of various sort of police visitors, etc.? I thought, no. I think, you know, you can't really sort of compare the Edward Woodward Wicker Man with, of course, the Nicolas Cage Wicker Man. Different lines entirely. No, exactly. I'm glad you said that, Lisa. It's very good, very positive from that point of view. Philippa, any questions you'd like to put to Lisa McAllister about life, the universe, or anything really?
Sure. What was it like working on Sherlock? Did you have some fun times?
I really did. They're all so funny and all so, so nice. Martin Freeman, I think, is the nicest man I've ever met in my entire life. I mean, from Hello, you feel like you've sort of known him forever. And so obviously I was totally thrilled for him when he got the part in The Hobbit. I just think that he's perfect to play Bilbo Baggins. But yeah, everyone was lovely. It was really, really great atmosphere on set.
He's kind of taken that line, Martin Freeman, from being obviously a Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy and the movie version of that, and has become sort of, you know, a nice person, really. What you think? He's not going to worry about people in his eye line. But anyway, sorry, I'm just in case you're wondering, we think Christian Bale is a fine person. It's just, you know, sometimes you do something, Christian, and you just think, just don't. I put it down to his time with Spielberg on Empire of the Sun, but never mind.
A long time ago.
Yeah.
He might have just been in character, you know.
Equally, Malcolm Tomlinson, good friend of the whole thing, one of our voiceover folk, etc. Malcolm's daughter Eleanor in a movie with John Malkovich, and John refused to speak to anybody unless they spoke French to him. You know, I know, an unusual affectation, you'd have to say. But
okay.
There we are. You know, was the movie filmed in France? No. You know, it was in Budapest. What's he doing? Sarah, no names, please. Sarah, no names for obvious reasons, because, you know, I know we've got some decent lawyers. I know next week we've got the Bar Association of Beverly Hills Lawyer of the Year on the show. He mentions shamelessly. But any sort of particular artists and writers who've been taking part in book festivals and you just thought, you outrageous person. You know, I just can't stand this anymore. And don't mention Stephen Burkhoff, because it's been done so many times. Oh, I just have. Oh, Lord. Carry on.
Well, we haven't met him yet, though, Alex.
I think, actually, and Stephen, if you or your people are listening, we think you're a wonderful person, but there have been, what, 3 attempts now for him to actually get up to Lincoln to actually transport. He seems to have difficulty either getting on the train, Lisa, or getting on the right train.
Oh, really? He he's a very nice man. I've worked with him.
You just need to get in here.
Maybe we could have Lisa McAllister acting as a Stephen Burkoff bodyguard for the day. No, just a thought.
Mind a reunion.
Anyway, moving on.
Yes, definitely over the time. We have compiled a list over the in our heads.
See, this is it, Lisa. You know, when you're dealing with cultural folk,
like a naughty list.
There's a naughty list of people who say, "Well, we want."
But it's always the people you don't expect, though, and the people that you always expect, you know, might be quite demanding or problematic, turn out to be the loveliest people ever. Yes, it's always the ones that you don't expect, really.
We try to work on the principle of being basically nice to other people, and then those people are usually nice to us, really, in many ways.
We like to give others. Yeah.
Exactly. It's the philosophy of life we can actually put into the whole system. Hannah, having recovered from your grandparents, getting a name check from the Lisa McAllister. Yeah, I'll say it again, the Lisa McAllister.
The one and only.
I know, stop saying Lisa McAllister.
Have you got any other questions you'd like to put to her?
We know that you've worked with some quite big names. What do you think is the most...
Just to rephrase that, some big names have worked with Lisa McAllister, you know, and they've appreciated their life much more because of it. Get it right here.
Yeah. What do you think is the most bizarre dressing room request that you've heard? Like, has anyone asked for anything really strange?
Want is a Winnebago with a view. Obviously, Lisa, we'd not expect you to name names here, but has there been any riders when people have said, I'm not going on Sat-Set unless you can guarantee me X, Y and Z?
No, there's been nothing that springs to mind, but I do remember one where I was in the makeup room and we were filming The Number One Girl and Vinnie Jones came in to... have his hair trimmed, and so he whipped off his shirt, and on his back he's got the line that he says in Lockstock tattooed in huge writing, and it just says, "It's been emotional." I was like, whoa.
I can see that being quite traumatic as well, actually. I mean, if Vinnie Jones suddenly takes his top off and you think, it's been emotional. I mean, you know, I get scared when I see Vinnie Jones demonstrating CPR in that commercial. You know, just push down here, push down here. It's not good. You know, it's not good at all. You know, there's certain limits to what you can actually do on
you
that.
You would revive yourself immediately if Vinnie Jones
exactly. There are those of us of a certain chronological age that still remember the Vinnie Jones grabbing of the Paul Gascoigne various parts, and you just think, no, please, just don't, no. That was when Vinnie was a footballer playing for Wimbledon against Paul Gascoigne playing for Newcastle United. You can probably, now I was going to say Google it, but that would be, don't go there. You see, it's outrageous. We've almost reached that stage where I need to throw those last two questions at your good self, Lisa. But first of all, we did talk on your debut on the Midweek Drive about possibly having the Lisa McAllister thought for the month in many ways, because we now have a letter from upstate New York with Annette Andre. And, I actually received a wonderful letter from Arthur Weingarten, husband of Annette Andre. And he actually included a copy of the script with just a little token for how nice he actually enjoys doing the show. The original script has been sent to us. That was really nice. I was moved. Several inches to the left and to the right, etc. But I'm thinking, actually, Lisa, would you be out for actually becoming a kind of Scottish Surrey correspondent with us on a monthly basis every so often? We kind of keep an audio diary of the things that you've been doing and all the rest of the bits and pieces. You know, has your agency been flooded? Is Olivia okay? All of these kind of crucial factors.
Thanks for asking.
Audio actors would be. Now, this almost answers those last two questions, but nevertheless, Sarah Bullimore, she might decide, don't know, I've thought about it. No, sorry, just no, please. Last two questions, please, Sarah Bullimore.
Lisa, have you had a good conversation with us today?
I have indeed. Always when I come on here, I leave the conversation feeling great.
And of course, you can play it all again on podcast. You know, that's the thing. It's there to be downloaded, and you take it around, have a ringtone.
Play it to all my friends. Well, make sure they know how wonderful I am.
It's the mission in life, exactly.
And you probably answered this one already, but can we look forward to speaking to you again very soon?
Yes, please.
Right, so you see Lisa McAllister, she will return. Now, I'm looking at the time. Normally, we actually have the news. Of course, there is no news with the Sight News team now, so we will be easing away from that for the summer months. It's one of those straight... I mean, what's the weather like where you are at present, Lisa? I mean, have you been having torrential rain and dark thunderclouds and such like?
Yes, and I'm looking out the window, and I think it's about to all start all over again.
Anyway, it is that time where we normally say, Michelle Monroe, where in the world is she? Well, she's working her way across the Antipodes at present, so it's another little pre-record before she gets over to the States, etc. But nevertheless, as we approach 17:54 on a Wednesday, it's time to press which button, Philippa? The Michelle Monroe button.
Oh, okay.
Michelle Monroe here again with another marvellous musical Matt Monroe interlude. I'm currently on my travels, and one of the places I'm due to visit whilst on the Princess Cruise Line is the name of this week's song. It's actually the title song to a long-forgotten travelogue written by Philip Hudsmith and William Hill Bowen. Incidentally, it was Bowen who'd given Dad his first big break in commercials back in 1959. The earliest and most famous jingle Dad was associated with was for the soap that made you look a little lovelier each day. But the two men went on to work together on several occasions, including a long-forgotten short travelogue film Dad did for the Norwegian Tourist Board called The Skiers of Norway. Today's choice was released as the B-side to When Love Comes Along, and recorded on the 18th of April 1962 at Abbey Road Studios. The title, Tahiti.
Tahiti,
It's tight, it's always very challenging when you actually sort of work through a variety of exciting things and you realise you've misdialed a couple of numbers, you've got a digit incorrect, etc. And you think, can we actually get to the legend that is Kelly Duncan Joyner before the end of Matt Monroe and Tahiti? Whew, just about, because obviously relying on Kelly's ultimate consummate professionalism, we appreciate the fact that we can actually go straight live to Kelly and she's not going to actually sort of be uttering four-letter words or oaths or various other bits and pieces. She knows that she's connected to the desk and we can say, Kelly Duncan Joyner, how are you?
How are you, Alex? I will try not to utter four-letter words. That's usually later in my day.
There you go, exactly.
So, since it's morning here, we're good.
It's morning in Los Angeles. It's wet and damp in Lincoln.
Beautiful morning.
There you go. Now, I'm just checking something here, Kelly, because earlier in the show, Philippa Blackmore noted that when she was in Los Angeles last year,
Yeah, it was March. Early March last year.
Okay. And you said that there was non-stop Adele being played all over Los Angeles.
Much.
Yeah. Is that the case, Kelly? Do you actually walk out the door to the office and you have non-stop Adele?
I love Adele. I absolutely love her. But I don't hear her nonstop because I usually, whenever I am in my car driving or I'm usually hooked up to my cell phone talking or listening to talk radio to keep me crazy.
Yeah, exactly. Of course, these days...
But I do. Whenever I do hear it, I applaud it because I love it. Her voice is incredible to me.
These days, of course, Kelly, you can actually download the Midweek Drive podcasts, put them onto your iPlayer, and just listen to them throughout the streets of LA. You know?
I know. I wish I had that kind of time.
Well, I don't know, when you're in a crucial meeting for a client and you're sort of sorting out their deals, etc., say, look, you know, let's just check out the Midweek Drive, you know, on the podcast. Have a listen to this, and that could offset. That could be just the sort of thing you need to actually confuse the sort of deal people, and then they'll say, yes, okay, have $50 million. Just go for it, you know.
It's the important thing. I can't think of anything better, Alex.
Yeah. It's something I will certainly suggest with Phil Leonis when he sort of is joining us shortly, because we're in Los Angeles, and all being well, we'll be staying in Los Angeles for the near future. Pilot season. We mentioned this earlier, and Philippa, because your father works in the film industry, In Shepparton, no less. Is that right? Shepparton Studios?
Yes, Shepparton Studios.
Exactly. And indeed has had this show blasted out, or rather the Morning Edition equivalent, to his works. Is he listening at present, by the way, Philippa?
I don't know. He might be on his way home, so probably not.
You can get one of those internet radios that you can... just thought that. Yes. we're having this campaign, Kelly, to get the parents of the co-presenters and grandparents to actually listen to the programme, etc. But I might be... In fact, Hannah might be asking you to give a little shout-out to her parents again.
Sort of line just get all the guests to shout out.
I know, exactly. Yeah, so, Philippa, you define again what pilot season is, and let's see if your definition from the British perspective, or specifically Surrey, it is Surrey?
Surrey,
actually gels with Kelly Duncan Joyner's perception as producer and agent in Los Angeles of pilot season. So, Philippa.
It's where the...
Am I starting?
No, I think we'll go with Philippa first, and then you can actually say that's correct or that's completely wrong.
Very good.
Oh, I'm going to be wrong now, aren't I?
Go.
You're wrong.
It's where television networks decide what pilots to put out this winter, in September time, if that's right.
For the next season, but for an agent's perspective, it is nonstop work. It is the pilots come out and they are released on what's called Put Down Services, a tool that agents use to get their clients. It lists all the pilots and all the different characters. And what I do is I basically cast my clients and submit them and endlessly call the casting directors and the directors and producers to try to get my clients seen to get into the audition because I think they're perfect for the role, of course. And so this year there's, I think, 127 pilots that came out, and so, which was my client, I was trying to get them all in, every single one, and you bat and fight and battle it out, because every agent in town is doing the same exact thing as I am, and you hope that your clients get that one pilot, and if so, they become series regulars. But then whether the pilot is going to be picked up, that's for the networks to decide.
I think that's...
And how anything gets on the air is amazing.
I say the same every week when I do one of these shows, Kelly. You know, we let it go through the gestation period. It seems to kind of come together. It coalesces in a kind of organic sense. You expect you're going to have a head chef, Aaron Craig, taking part. No, he's not around. You know, Hannah might have actually sort of been trying to get in from outside. Sarah might, it's a frightful sort of thing. On a slightly different note, this week's Chilpack Hollywood Hour was very much focused on the Screen Actors Guild collaboration, because the Screen Actors Guild has joined together. So we have to ask you, Kelly, what are your views on this?
You know, it's so odd because I never thought it was going to happen. It just was.
Neither did Ed Asner,
it
would seem.
It was too extreme. Yeah, and, I was never for it, but because I was kind of, I wanted to keep things separate. But now with the cost of things and having actors have to pay two separate dues, and it just makes sense because everything is so different from just 4 years ago when I left. And to now everything is done on an after scale almost. And scaled down. So the more productions that are being done on an after level, and now the clients can be sagged, it just now makes sense to me.
Just for the benefit of our listener and people who haven't tuned into Chilpack Hollywood, I don't know why. I mean, it is an hour that you can download, produced by Phil Leonis and Dean Haglund. There we are. Shameless commercial there. Never let it be said that we don't actually acknowledge that is coming through on this. Would you not just explain why this was such a big deal in Hollywood and in the Hollywood industry that you had these two unions that people said, no, they're going to be completely separate, and now they are one?
That would be me?
Yes, Kelly.
Am I to explain?
I think so.
I thought I just said, Alex. Were you not listening?
I bet.
It's I mean, there's so many different reasons why it's good and so many different reasons why it's bad, but it all depends on how much money you're making. If you're the 1% in the business that is, you know, making $1 billion a year.
Because let's face it, Kelly, we can't all be producing John Carter. Oh, sorry.
Yeah, true.
I bet. I know. I bet you're so.
Someone's getting fired for that.
Do you think? I mean, it could be the Heaven's Gate of the 21st century, or alternatively, it could be a movie that we all grow and love. And why not? It's good stuff, though.
Who knows? Time will tell.
Exactly. Classic a classic video, which, again, we talked earlier about cutesy sort of pictures and images, etc. But here we have Kelly Duncan joining up Facebook. My son Duncan's commercial for Tiny Tykes Tyke Sticks.
Well, Mommy was wrong. It's actually called Little Tykes.
Little Tykes.
Right, yeah, right. It's actually a national commercial. His first national commercial that he got.
I'm going to get some of the team over, Kelly, to actually have a look at this, because we've got an all female lineup here, which is great. So I think the R factor should be tremendous. So just come round here. We'll pull up this whole set. Jodie Orton apparently likes this, so that's good. A good selection from that point of view. I've actually hit the button now. It's loading up, and we'll get the full view on Kelly Duncan Joyner's number one stun with the Tiny Tykes commercial without sound, obviously, but we can describe the whole thing. There we are. There's Duncan now. You see, we're getting R factor already in the two parrots. The little hand goes up, that sort of waves there. We get lots of shots there, lots of rapid editing, I see. Lots of hands. Ooh, scary, scary. Ooh, dear me. And we're getting the build. We're getting the rocket ship being built. We're getting the alien. We're getting the canoe. We're getting the clubhouse. And we're getting the soccer goal, which is genius. And it's, there we are, Tiny Tyke Sticks. You see, it's in this country we have Meccano, but anyway, that's another line entirely. Yeah, we have Meccano. We also have Lego, which I think you actually have in the States there.
Yeah.
So the co-presenters have duly had a look at that, and I trust you appreciate, Kelly, the commentary I provided there, you know, to hopefully sort of boost it up. You know, kind of.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yes.
Exactly. So, Sarah, let's turn to you. Tiny Tyke Sticks, will you be going out to buy one straight away?
They look amazing.
I have to point out, it's
for us, they gave it to us.
Yeah, yeah. I should hope so too. Exactly. I presume you've got a contract as well from that sort of point of view. You just said, no, you can have a box of Tiny Tyke Sticks. That's it. You know, what do you think this is? See there? Please. Hannah.
Can I just say, your son is so cute.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I like the look of the clubhouse.
He's a little man. Do you know who Dr. Brian Cox is, or Professor Brian Cox?
Yeah.
We do indeed, yes.
He pretends to be him all day long. So he's walking around.
How old is Duncan?
Talking like Brian Cox. He just turned four.
Yeah.
And
a four-year-old Californian who thinks he's Brian Cox.
Yeah.
You know, there are therapists who actually make a fortune on that basis. Lord above. Yeah. And Philippa, your views on Duncan and the tiny tracks advert?
It looks fun. I might have to get myself some.
Yeah. We
can build a clubhouse in the Siren Studio.
Oh, the entity.
I didn't have things like this when I was a child. I had to use real tables and chairs and blankets.
Making a little den out of chairs is fun. Blankets.
Did you not have Wendy houses? Was that sort of?
Yeah, Wendy house. But it's much more fun using blankets than chairs.
So blankets. You haven't changed, Sarah. You know, Sarah here. Yes, blankets and chairs. It's great stuff on that perspective. Well, there we are. And again, if you YouTube that, you can actually go. I suppose Tiny Tykes. You'll be able to actually get that access in all sorts of ways. It's fantastic. Absolutely, sorry. So Easter, Kelly, that's approaching. We've already spoken to Lisa McAllister, who's very much into the Easter. Any excuse for a celebration, bless her. You know, it's just what we've heard from that. Sarah Chase over in the States, Frankfurt in Germany, the Federal Republic of Germany. Oh, no, just the state, anyway. Very excited about Easter and so on. Cameron, frankly, if we'd asked about Easter, we wouldn't have been able to understand his reply. Nothing to do with Canada and Cameron being Canadian, you'll understand, Kelly. It's just because his cell phone was just completely doolally. It was just just wasn't connecting at all, really.
So
what are your own views on Easter, Kelly? Is it something which you think, yes, we can get on down to that in Los Angeles? Or do you think, no, let's move on?
Well, no, it's now that we have a young child, it's something to celebrate. And so we color our eggs, and he won't eat the real eggs, but he'll eat the chocolate-filled eggs. And we, through the backyard, we'll go hunting for eggs.
A four-year-old child eating chocolate eggs, that sounds very strange.
He, I know how odd. it's fun.
Is it something to do with his mother being a former Miss Coca-Cola, Kelly? Do you think that's the connection with the whole thing? I mean, is it genetic here? I mean, I don't know.
Everything's genetic. I'm finding out. Just the fact that my son was able to do this commercial was like, okay, he never has an acting class in his life. Everything I've concluded is genetic.
Sounds very much like a future Academy Award winner to me.
Talented young boy.
Exactly. So sorted through from there. Did he do it all in one take as well? Or was it just a case of
no, of course not. But he did do all the lines in one. Yeah, absolutely. It was strewed up in where he had to say it in the entire thing in one take. But for some reason, they decided to cut it into different pieces.
Yeah, it was lots of rapid as opposed to rabid editing. Because obviously, if it was rabid editing, it'd be frothing at the sides, and you wouldn't want to go there at all, really. It's just completely different. Kelly, obviously, we've talked about your work as an agent, we've talked about your work as a mum. Producer, is that a sort of line that you also combine? Because obviously, there's a classic piece that you produce with your husband called Civic Duty. Are there plans for you to actually get back into the production mode again, or would you say no?
Like I said earlier, it's amazing how anything ever comes together, and especially if you're starting from ground zero, which is with a script. And you want to produce something, all the headaches that go on, that are involved with that, and getting people and the right people, and it's more difficult than being an agent. Mm-hmm. And whether I someday, can I say yes, someday when I find the right project again that I want to do, I will produce. But until that day, until I'm well rested.
Working through the whole process. That's the important thing for me.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, it's a lot of banging your head against the wall, which is not fun.
Well, it's time now for you to actually wear your performance act once again, Kelly, because Hannah has got a couple of people, in fact, to be precise, three people, one of whom I believe is Siobhan, whom she'd like you to say a big hi to all the way from California. Hopefully this will be shared when we can. It's like the sunshine. Oh, no, sorry, sunshine state. That's Florida, of course. Wrong state entirely. We'll stay with California. Hannah, of course, originates from the wonderful part of England called Gloucester, or as Californians might say, Gloucestershire. But no, it's Gloucester.
Yes, exactly.
She's wondrous. So, Hannah, would you like to explain what Kelly needs to do in her motivation for saying a happy hi to the Hannah O'Brien family?
This is becoming a bit of a theme, Alex. Just say hi to my mum and my grandparents. My mum's Siobhan, and my grandparents are Valerie and John.
Again,
Siobhan, Valerie, and John.
Siobhan.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And Valerie.
Hi, Siobhan. Valerie.
Yes.
Hi, Valerie.
Yeah.
And John.
And John. Well, John's easy. Hello, John.
There you
are. How are
you? Yes. Wonderful. You see,
I'm from sunny California.
There you are. Yeah. But remember, Kelly, if it gets very sunny, you'll have to wear a lot of sunblock, because it's very important that you don't actually that's very, because there's always a balance on this side of things. It's very important.
Yes.
Sarah, anything?
You don't want to age rapidly.
Exactly, because it's not good. And besides, you can always tell when the nips and tucks have actually been taking place, etc.
I see it all day long.
Botox, is it Venice Beach? Is it a Botox paradise? We don't know.
Yes.
Sarah, any questions you'd like to put?
Yes, please, Kelly. Just going back to what we talked about earlier with your agent work, where you said that at the moment you're kind of, you know, getting all the lists of all the pilots and the characters and trying to kind of match them with some of your clients. Have you ever, and I'm sure the answer's probably going to be loads of times, but have you ever made any really exciting matches and discoveries where you've put someone forward and they've got it, but then that pilot's gone on to become really successful or gone down really well?
Every year I usually get some sort of, I've been lucky with getting one of my actors or two or three, and one time I had four people in different pilots.
Kelly, I believe it's nothing to do with luck. It's simply a case of your clients dare not disappoint you. They know that an unhappy Kelly Duncan Joyner is not good. You know, we want to keep Kelly happy and smiling, and they go out there and they get that role. They know they have to. They got to get that role for there. Or as we like to say, do it for KDJ. Quite simply, do it for KDJ. That's the line.
Unfortunately, some of my clients do feel that way, and that's what I always tell them. Don't worry, I'm not going to drop you as a client. I believe in you. Because the competition out there right now is unbelievable because there's so many actors out of work. And many of them who were A-list, you know, film actors are now going to television and happily and are now taking the roles of people that would have, you know, my type of clients would get. And then there are those guest star roles that are the leads for, like, one episode only. They're now taking those roles because, hey, they like the show. And decide to call the casting director.
But can you not
say,
simply,
I want to do that.
Yeah, can you not say, Kelly, look, Madonna, you know, you've already got a movie career. You've got a singing career. Why do you want to be on Days of Our Lives? You know, for goodness sakes.
You know what? I ask this all the time. Yeah. Not her personally, but because I would love to them. Wouldn't that be a hoot? Hey, Madonna, stop it.
Exactly. I know. Mind you, people have said, including our film critic Richard Fitzwilliams, you should stop it. You should stop directing now. Oh, my word. There we are. It's just too much. Too much to take there. Sorry, it's just somebody there saying, stop, Madonna.
And I get it as a producer because it's so hard to keep a show on and it's so costly to keep one on. And that if they can do and get these A-list actors that keep a show on, you know, you're going to do it. And, you know, I understand on both sides. But I have had some hits. You probably would not know their names because they're American actors that work all the time. But, you know, it is exciting to
Kelly,
them not work
as I've said,
finally get
this,
work.
This is the kind of international show where if we don't know their names today, their names today, I was going into a sort of Cockney accent there, or matter. So if they don't know their names today, we will know their names tomorrow, or indeed right at the moment. Come on, name some names, Kelly, because who knows, they might be joining us on the show in the not-too-distant future. So go on, throw them out there, Kelly.
One of my actors who's in Carrie Matchett, and I put her in actually Civic Duty, and she plays opposite the lead. But she's now on a show called Covert Affairs. I don't know if you get that in England. James Tupper, who was on a show called, when I first had him, he was in a show called Men in Trees with Anne Hesh. And now he's doing a show called Revenge. And they're several actors.
Kelly, you've already actually raised the title of the day to me. I mean, for me,
but these are younger people.
If there's ever to be a classic title for the Kelly Duncan Joyner autobiography, I think Men in Trees with Anne Hesh. You know, I think that's it. You know, I think that's it. You know, just as a movie itself, it's a bit
okay,
like.
Okay, go ahead. Punch me in the stomach one more time.
No. I think that's right. Listen, your chance now, if you stay with us, 60 seconds, a little promo for Phil Leonis, who joins us in a few moments' time, from Los Angeles. This is The Truth Is Out There.
Of course, one of the big stars on The X-Files, and he's making a documentary called The Truth Is Out There.
One of the things that UFO research has done to me is instill in me a healthy disrespect for the things that government says.
They are poisoning our people. There is a population control agenda. There really are people who want to kill off the majority of the people in the world.
If we don't allow these corrupt banks to fail, then the nation will fail, and there will be no recovery.
Don't stand on the sides of the river and comment on how corrupt and dark and evil everything is. We all know that.
I don't need to have you understand or agree with me or believe. It doesn't matter to me. I know what I know.
The name of our film is?
The truth is out there.
But it really isn't.
But isn't there a universal truth that science is going for?
Perhaps the universal truth is what makes us subjective.
Okay, you just blew my mind.
So there we are, Kelly. If you haven't seen The Truth Is Out There as yet, who knows, we could open up a whole routine for that. But that's one of Phil Leonis's documentaries. I think it was his fifth movie. He's currently working on his sixth as director, which is, of course, going to be The Truth Is Out There 2, Ancient Mysteries. And he'll be screening a range of other bits and pieces. Now, Phil, the reason I've raised this point, Kelly, and again, it's getting interesting to get your perspective on this. Phil believes that the whole distribution model that Hollywood has changed. That actually, rather than necessarily actually putting your trust in the hands of the distributors, you should actually sort of set up a distribution network yourself and just get the product out there. What's your own view on that?
Well, like I said, there are no rules anymore, and that will happen. That will absolutely happen. The thing is, if you're a producer and you put all this money into a film to have it made, you do want someone who knows what they're doing, like a Weinstein. Who has nothing to do with the film, who just comes in at the last minute and buys the artist, and gets it distributed to every theater and, of course, the Academy Award. So that's a good example. But, it's not my profession, so I don't know much, too much about it.
Kelly,
on a small level.
As ever, a wonderful routine. And finally, at this particular moment, we have on the whole system here the perfect pilot pitch. Is there anything as a producer where you'd actually say, yes, that's the perfect pilot pitch? What, in fact, let's say there's Hannah and there's Philippa and there's Sarah and they want to put together the perfect pilot pitch. What should they incorporate into that?
Animation.
Nice. Yeah, animation. Just like that. It's good. Another little...
acting skills, actually, because you have to sell as if you are doing the commercial for this pitch. And if you stumble over words, you break the routine of the pitch.
Yeah.
So
got to be confident. You've got to believe in the product. Uh-huh. You've got to engage.
Absolutely.
You've got to work through that whole process. It's very important. Just as I say, looking at a photograph, still photograph of day one of Duncan filming, I should say, the Little Tykes commercial, a.k.a. College Fund.
So, yes, that is.
Sorted through. Genius. I feel in many ways as though Kelly Duncan Joyner, the life story, is something which is just beginning to unfold on a day-by-day, step-by-step basis. It's just fantastic stuff. So, Sarah Bullimore, would you like to throw those last two questions to Kelly Duncan Joyner?
Kelly, have you had a wonderful conversation with us today?
I absolutely did.
Fantastic.
Has it helped set you up for a day in California, Kelly? In Los Angeles where you've got a sort of, the sun is there, all the rest of the bits and pieces. Do you feel as though you can actually go to your next meeting feeling, enthused with the whole thing that you have a British fan base, including Siobhan, John, and of course Valerie.
Valerie!
It's like a monkey's moment. In fact, we might see if the monkeys are actually there. Yes, we will. Do you feel that it's helped set you up for the day?
I feel I can take on anyone now.
That's good.
Yours is closing. My day is just beginning. I feel revived.
Well, of course, Kelly, the thing is, if you want to join us when it's midnight in Los Angeles, we're live again tomorrow morning between 8 a.m. and 10 a.m. So, we like to feel that there's always that opportunity that's there as well, should you choose to avail yourself of it.
Thank you.
But the final question is...
can we look forward to speaking to you again soon, Kelly?
I would love to.
Excellent.
Yes, you see, Kelly Duncan, Joyner will return. Great stuff. And relax. Time for Infinity 2008.
Here's McKee, philosophy, A freak like me just needs infinity. Relax, take your time.